Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, February 15th. Another beautiful day in Southern California.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, everyone.
Welcome, everyone.
Hi, Tori.
Hello.
Sunshiny day again. It was really warm yesterday, huh?
Yeah, it was it was beautiful.
Yeah, it's like in the midst of all these rainy days, suddenly we get a few nice sunny days, which is weird because usually it's the other way around. But we have a lot of sunny and then a few rainy days, but whatever. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Yesterday, we had a great show, Tori.
Yes.
With dating coach and expert Laurel House.
Yeah, she was so great.
We had so much fun. We were so loud. The people next door at the other studio said, God, you guys were loud.
Yeah, we were. She's a lot of energy. And, you know, this is coming from me.
Right.
Who's got a lot of energy.
Right.
But
so between the three of us, we were yelling.
She was yelling. I mean, yeah. Then I started yelling.
We were all yelling. To get on top of each other so we can be heard.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
She, like, overtakes my energy. People like that scare me because I'm like, really? I'm at the top.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the day and time, too.
True.
You know? Yeah. But you guys should definitely listen to yesterday's Valentine's Day.
Really good advice.
Yeah. So how did your Valentine's Day go?
Good. We played some darts.
Oh, really?
At a dive bar, which is like my favorite thing to do.
How cool.
Yeah. And
are you good at it?
Nope.
So
but I'm getting better.
Good,
my husband is, so he looks good doing it. And, you know, no, it was a lot of single people at the bar drinking alone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And we played
what
some darts.
What bar is that? I should oh, you mean Valentine's Day?
Yeah,
they were
alone. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
If it's probably mostly guys, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Some chick, mostly guys. How was your day? What did you do?
I didn't do anything, really.
Nice.
We just worked and had fun here. But, no, I didn't have anybody to celebrate Valentine's Day with.
Okay.
So I didn't.
All right. There you go.
Yeah, there you go, you know. One less thing to worry about.
Yeah, totally.
But actually, it's something you wouldn't mind worrying about. You know, if you had somebody important in your life and everything,
it is
what
nice.
The hell, it's fun to
it
get
is.
Them things.
And just like
know?
Laurel was saying, that like all it is a way to make effort. Just
right.
make a little bit more effort that one day. And that's true.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all, you know.
No.
So she's good. You know, she's like, her book was like, F the Rules or something or yeah, you know, remember the book The Rule?
Mm-hmm.
So
she should be dating, man. She's cute as a button.
Well, I think she's already got somebody. She just doesn't advertise it.
Oh,
the father
good.
Of the child. Yeah.
Oh, she just said she was single mom, so I thought she was just dating. She said
I know.
Single.
Well, she's not married, but I think she's yeah.
Okay,
they're not
girl.
Married.
Okay.
But I know she has. Well, she has been seen with the father of the boy.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I think I ran into her once with a guy, and she introduced him as I guess a boyfriend at least.
Oh, okay.
So she doesn't
she's
say
not
that,
single
but
then.
Yeah, I mean, look, she did. She would have told you she's been proposed to a million times in her life, and she's been married already.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So she's not new to the game, but she knows, and that's why you should listen to her because she knows what she's talking
yeah,
about.
Experience.
She's totally, definitely a coach for the 21st century. You know, she cuts out the bullshit.
Damn straight.
Yeah,
I liked her straight way of talking.
Yeah, so that was Valentine's Day. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking to a guest calling in, a hot mess to mindful mom.
Mm-hmm.
That should be interesting to learn how to deal with stress. You like it. It deals with meditation and mindfulness.
Up my alley.
Yes, sir. So we'll go there when she calls in. Shit is happening. Shit is happening. Anything you cared to touch on? You'll get the one political thing for today.
What? I got nothing. Nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
No, I'll say
nothing
it.
In
no.
Washington. Just everything is imploding.
Lord. Yeah, I watched the Netanyahu conference with Trump that he just gave.
Did they just give it?
Yeah, and at one point Trump was like, "Oh, I didn't know you were going to mention this deal," and I'm like, usually the president has prepared and okayed each remarks. And I guess so Netanyahu talked about how it would only work if the Palestinians agreed on these two things. And right. So it went on and on. And then he talked about knowing Jared Kushner since he was a boy and it was super weird. but it was, you know, they shook hands. It was, I don't know. And then someone asked about his racism and xenophobia. And I don't think Trump knew the word xenophobia. So he just said, and a lot of other things. And then Netanyahu was like, he's a great defender of the Jewish people. And there's no one better than President Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Okay.
So,
well, and then at least they love each other now.
They're having a love affair.
Right.
And but they brought up stuff that doesn't. He said that there's going to be some big things, big things. I'm like, what things? What things?
Right.
But
he did say hold back on Israeli settlements, yeah, which he hadn't said before.
And it was off the cuff. He said it like, and hey, and he turned to him and said that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty. I mean, look, Netanyahu, you have to understand, is not very popular in Israel right now.
Yeah, he's not. He's a very controversial figure. Much of a war hawk.
And he's been there for a long time. I mean, give us two terms and get the hell out, you know?
Fresh blood.
But you see, that's what I'm saying. Our system in America is so great. Mm-hmm. You know, even when you have a great leader, you let him go after two terms. You know, let's move on.
Yeah, so the stuff coming out with Trump and Flynn, obviously, is that now they see the New York Times and Washington Post are both racing to give this story to you every morning. So now I'm glad I get the New York Times every morning.
Yeah, right?
Because the front page is like a new thing every morning. So apparently not only has Flynn been in contact with Russia since before the election? Now they're saying it went back to the summer. Trump, really? His family, and members of his team, extensive discussions with Russia throughout the summer during the campaign.
Really?
So, yeah. So this is all
now,
coming in day by day
this.
By day.
Is this illegal or unethical? I mean, what would it be?
In some ways,
probably
both.
Illegal,
both.
Right?
And also perjury, because they both said they absolutely had, didn't. Right.
Right.
So it would be for either a resign or an impeachment. There would be definitely grounds for that. Every Democratic senator has called for an investigation, including high-end Republicans like Roy Blunt has also now called for an investigation into this Russia situation.
Wow.
Jason Chaffetz. So people are now, it's not just Democrats, because that's a bipartisan thing.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should
and
be.
This with
I mean?
Russia, you don't want them taking over our election. So that's going to be a lot of people on both sides.
I know.
Lindsey Graham.
And you know what? Even when the administration screws up, then we have to, they have to be accountable.
Right. And that's why something called checks and balances. That's exactly why.
Exactly.
That's why the Constitution is really quite an amazing, beautiful document, because it literally protects us from what's happening right now.
Exactly.
Which is amazing. Yeah. So interesting. But, and what's very interesting is the late night talk shows. For the second time in a week, Mr. Stephen Colbert has topped Jimmy Fallon in the ratings.
Really?
For the first time. Very, very, very rare. And the difference is Jimmy Fallon's still playing like ping pong with Roomba machines and like telling really lame jokes. And Colbert's going very assertive against Trump.
Very political.
Very political. So that seems to be working. So he's taken off.
So people prefer the politics more than the entertainment.
I think
at
they
this
prefer
point.
You to at least acknowledge.
Right,
so,
right.
For instance, Stephen Miller, Trump's surrogate, went on CNN and said, "There is no way you could ever question the president ever."
Really?
And then Colbert goes, "I have a question. What the fuck are you talking about?" That's so stupid. So, So he's being much more acerbic and it's working. So, Colbert inches out over Fallon.
Very interesting.
Second
so
week
very
in a row.
Political year.
Yeah.
Very political times.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but all I can say is about the settlements in Israel, and I have an opinion on that, is that, look, on the one hand, the people that are settling are saying, look, this is ancient Israel, we deserve to be here, blah, blah, blah. The point is, though, is that this is not an important thing to Israel at this point. We don't need to settle there. You know, they don't need to
like, if
to,
you can compromise on something, this is something they feel you could. This is something
flexible
on.
Because I'll tell you why. Right. It's only a few thousand people affecting an entire country's policy.
Right. At some point, you got to let go of
something. Standing in the way.
That's right. That's
you know?
Right.
And but that's not to say, and I'll bet you I know what Netanyahu said, the things, the conditions that have to happen. And one is for them to change their constitution to take out that the state of Israel does not have the right to exist.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's probably one
the
of the things
The first thing
he said.
Was, he's
right.
like, it needs to be...
Because they won't, yeah. they won't do it.
Right.
They won't do it. So how can you make peace with someone who doesn't acknowledge your right to
right.
exist?
Right.
So that's actually the point. And And all I can tell you is when you live there, you realize it's not just giving back the West Bank and Gaza and stuff. They want everything. They want Jaffa. They want, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem. They want everything. So is that like realistic? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So that's why there'll never be peace, you know? Mm-hmm. It's about jealousies. It's about ancient hatreds. It's not about the land. If you look at all the land that the Arabs have compared to the little mm-hmm. piece of
it's
Israel.
It's so small.
You know, how...
Size of Delaware.
How's their land being occupied? I don't get it, you know?
Yeah. Well, he spoke a lot, and he was pretty harsh. He talked about the Iranian missiles have engraved in Hebrew... Israel must die. So he was like, of course they're coming after us. So we right. have to be very protective.
It's just a matter of time. You know?
He was very, and I know Netanyahu is somewhat of a war hawk, but he was very forward, very acerbic, very like, very military in his style when he spoke. And Trump was not ready, did not know he was going to do that. And he said, I didn't know you were going to do that. And it was very like, oh.
I need to watch that.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Wow.
Yeah,
I really need to watch that.
Yeah, yeah. And an Israeli reporter asked Netanyahu a question, and they kind of spar.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're saying labels. I said these, you know, it got into it. So it was a heated conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of tension around the world these days, man. And we'll see what happens.
And then they shouted out a Russia question, and Trump just walked off to the stage, and everyone's like, oh, are they done? And then it was so weird.
Oh, God. Maybe because it didn't have to do with what he was talking about.
Yeah, but they're usually you say thanks so much, and so people clap, and then they stand up. But right. he just walked right to the curtain.
Wow. Wow.
So very interesting.
So you watch this, what, on your phone in the morning and stuff?
Yeah, when on the drive up.
Really?
Yeah.
So
my husband's
grandfather,
like MSNBC, my husband has it grandfathered in, so he can have unlimited data when it's not on wireless. So we watch... And now the Sean Spicer press conferences, which usually get nobody watching, are beating the ratings of daily soap operas, Bold and the Beautiful and Young and the Restless. Oh, and they're beating them in Days of Our Lives. I'm like, because it's really interesting what you see every day.
That's true.
Right after this is the Sean Spicer interview, so I drive home watching that.
That'll be cool.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice that CNN.com started, what they have there is like a ticker almost, by the minute of what happens in Washington, you know?
Oh,
it's like Trump says this says that. Like by
it
the
happens
minute,
very quickly.
Because so much shit is happening.
There is something to be said, and this is coming from someone who's a Washingtonian, born and bred. There's something to be said that in D.C., things go slowly. Bills don't get passed very quickly. Things always have to go through red tape. Yeah. However, there's a reason for that.
Right.
Because you can take your time. Everyone in the different departments can understand it. It shouldn't go so fast because there's a huge machine.
Yeah, government is a slow machine.
Exactly. And for some good reason, right? I mean, but Trump is just like, I change this, I change that. I'm like, you don't have a magical wand that does that. You know what I mean? I bet he thought, he's like, where's my wand? So who knows?
Yeah. But I don't know about Jimmy Fallon. I mean, I don't watch him, but I would imagine his show is just
so terrible.
For entertainment more than politics.
Ugh. Yeah, but, you know, he's making jokes like the president's code name for the Secret Service would be Agent Orange and huge hands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right.
Okay.
And, like, that's a fifth grader. Yeah. Like, that's so dumb. If you're going to say something, like, do it. Make it funny at least, you know.
That's true, yeah.
So...
Well, but on Jimmy Kimmel, I guess last night was Kate Upton.
Yeah, she's on this. She's the Sports Illustrated cover
for the third time.
For the third time, and she's on three different ones. Yeah, she's third time.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Is it three different ones?
I don't know if it's three different ones or three different times, but she posted a big thing, and there was three different issues. And I'm thinking she's on three different. They have three different photographs.
But wasn't it like because Jimmy Kimmel is showing that, but it seems like they made it up or something. Like one is with her in the sand, entirely in the sand, just her face. Or
I don't know.
Yeah, because I just watched a little Jimmy Kimmel segment, and it was sort of like mocking the cover.
I see.
But at any rate...
She looks great.
She looks great, you know, and I never realized that they would call her curvy.
Oh, my God. She was the number one. She's what you think of when you think of curvy.
Right?
Only because she's got the boo-boos.
Right.
The boo-boos are great. She has great boo-boos.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about that after we talk to our guest now, because we're going to segue to another topic.
Good segue.
Yes. And we're going to be joined by Allie Katz. Allie, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Where are you calling us from this morning?
I am calling from Houston, Texas.
Ooh, go Texas.
Go Texas. How you doing there in Houston? That sounds great.
It is a beautiful day today. We're doing great.
Have you lived there all your life?
No, I've lived here for almost 20 years, but I grew up on the East Coast in Philadelphia.
Oh,
but now this feels like home, so yeah. I guess I'm officially a Texan.
Yeah, and what made you make the move?
I actually moved after college to work, and then I met my husband here, and then I stayed.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's usually a man or a woman if you're... Yeah. That's good. So you decided to start a family there and everything, And now you brand yourself a hot mess to Mindful Mom, and we introduced this a little bit. You have you published your first book, Hot Mess to Mindful Mom, 40 Ways to Find Balance and Joy in Your Everyday. So give us a little bit of an overview of the book, and then we'll get a little bit more into the specifics.
Well, the thing that's amazing is this book really has something for everyone. So, of course, it's branded Hot Mess to Mindful Mom because I'm a mom, but lots of readers read it that have kids, don't have kids, because it's really about self-care, which is really for everyone.
Right.
So there's 40 tools and strategies in the book that I have used over the years and have taught clients and students. And it's broken down into three categories. And the categories are things that I do every day, things that I do as needed, and then attitude adjustments, things I really had to learn along the way of my journey to mindfulness and living a more centered and happy life. So, of course, no one is expected to do all 40 things at once. But what I tell people is, start with one or two that you gravitate toward. You can start anywhere in the book, and then when those strategies become a habit in your life and you feel really comfortable with them, then maybe you pick up another one and you just kind of really slowly work your way through all the different suggestions.
It's like DC, go very slowly. go
exactly.
Slow.
Yeah, like we were talking
just
about.
Just like we were talking about, right, that's right. So what are some of the what are some of your favorites that you think a lot of people are relating to? Like you give your top three that you really think will can be very helpful in these, you know, 40 things.
Oh, so hard to pick, but I would say one top one for everybody would be cultivating more gratitude in your life. I always say gratitude is a huge game changer. You know, it's impossible to feel stress and gratitude at the same time, so you can really shift your energy with that. Finding ways to get you grounded. I call it having a trigger plan and knowing exactly what makes you feel better in times of stress, like two or three things, like a 1 minute meditation or taking a little walk outside or making a cup of tea or snuggling with a pet. You know, what brings you back to center and balance really quickly without fail and really identifying what those are and then practicing them so you can use them in moments of stress. I think that's super important.
Having backups
and
like
then,
that.
Yeah. Sorry?
Having backups like that can always get you back to ground zero.
Exactly. And some can be really short and some can be longer. Like someone could have taking a bath, you know, but you're not always home. That's not always available to you.
Just so find a bathtub. Find
list.
A bathtub.
Right, exactly. Knock on someone's door. But like a 1 minute meditation, for example, just matching your inhale and your exhale for a minute can always bring you back to center and can calm you down, and your breath is your most portable self-help tool that you have. So I always tell everyone that should be on there.
Yeah.
And then one more, oh my goodness, I would say don't be afraid of the journey and learn to, you know, kind of laugh at yourself a little bit and just be open and have faith and trust and not take everything quite so seriously, but really just enjoy the ride. You know, we're all changing and learning and evolving and growing every day. And to just sort of allow that to happen without, you know, being too hard on yourself.
That's true.
Some more self-compassion.
This is a Buddhist platform you just gave me.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So great.
That's
well,
the thing.
I do believe in a lot of the Buddhist teachings.
Yeah, I can tell. It's great.
The book is written like, people say, it's like having coffee with me. It's totally relatable and accessible and funny. And I share all my own mishaps and hot mess moments and things like that.
Wow, wow. So how long did it take you to write the book, Allie?
My first book, I did the writing process in about 2 months. It just kind of was all I could think about and do, and so it went pretty quickly. My second book that's coming out over the summer took about 6 months. So
you're becoming
a
pro.
I really enjoy
the
writing process.
Yeah.
Have you always been a writer?
No, it's so funny. I never even thought of myself as a writer until I guess I just really had a lot to say.
Yeah, right.
And I had been through so much myself that I was so passionate about sharing. And now, you know, when people ask what I do, I'm an author. So it's really exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's true. So when you, right after college, you moved for work. What were you doing when you were working?
I actually moved to Houston to work for Enron.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah.
Whoa.
So I worked there for 3 years.
Whoa.
I planned all those fancy, crazy parties.
Oh, my God.
About.
Are you? I've read all about these, and I've watched the documentaries.
That was my job. Actually, one of the stars of the documentary, Max, worked my last year. We worked next to each other.
Get out of here. This is a documentary. Yeah. I think there's one called The Smartest Guys in the Room.
Yeah,
and it's,
that's the one he was in.
It is one of my top three favorite documentaries,
really?
And I am a nerd.
Yeah.
It is wonderful.
Wow.
And you should watch it. It's excellent. It explains the whole Enron thing, but they do. They talk about the lavish parties. So that's you. That's crazy.
That was my job. No budget. Wow. Could do anything I wanted. Really.
Yeah, they were out. Amazing. They were crazy, it looked like.
Wow.
Yeah. So, really fun. I mean, considering I was, you know, 22 and just moved to a new city, I mean, it was pretty much a dream
that's
job.
That's awesome.
I feel really grateful that I had it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
Jeez.
So, and when you're not writing, what it is that is it that you do, Allie? How do you keep? So, obviously, your mom, right?
I'm a mom.
How many do you have? Two boys.
They definitely take up a lot of my time. Two boys that are 9 and 11.
Uh-huh.
And I also do a lot of teaching. I teach meditation a lot and mindfulness and self-care techniques. And I do a lot of speaking and workshops and different things like that. So I pretty much, whenever my kids are in school, I'm working. And then when they're not in school, I'm trying to be the mindful mom.
There you go. Now, is there a way that you can teach your kids meditation? Because that's something, I have, don't have kids yet. But here's my dream. It's like, oh, I know. I'll teach them meditation. So everyone will be calm at all times.
Like, you can. You totally can. So my kids were little when I started meditating, and I explained it to them. I said, you know, it needs a few minutes to breathe so that I can be a better mommy.
That's
so that
good.
I can be like the best mommy I can. And they're like, okay, take your time. I'll be the best mommy. And so what I did was I explained to my kids, though, that there were certain boundaries. Like when I first started, they would interrupt me every 5 seconds and they needed something. And so I explained to them, you know, if someone threw up or someone's bleeding or we need to call 911, you can interrupt me. I said, but if that's not the case and you just want to be with me, you can come sit in the room with me.
Yeah.
You can put your head on my lap. You can lay next to me. You can read a book. You can sit and breathe with me. Like, you're welcome to be with me.
Sure.
You can't talk to me.
Right.
So they totally got that. And I taught them techniques like, And I never pressured them. I just let them do it whenever they want.
Sure.
And they have really embraced it, but I don't force them. I just sort of let them. But this was really, really fun. I use an app to time my meditations called Insight Timer. And people can write you little notes. And apparently my son, I was meditating downstairs, and after I was finished, a note popped up from my 11-year-old that said, thanks for meditating with me, Mom. He was on Insight Timer, too, meditating upstairs. That was,
so
like,
cute.
Seriously one of my proudest moments ever.
That is a good moment, man. That's a good moment.
That's
good. Great. Yeah, a lot of people use apps now for meditation because it's like, we got to use an app for something. But it's
I use an app to time my meditations. This is okay. I wrote about this yesterday in my newsletter because this is the question I get the most when I do workshops. Is it as good to meditate with an app as it is by yourself?
Oh, interesting.
You guys interested in that answer?
Yes, please.
Okay, so here's the thing. There's a million teachers and everyone will say their opinion and they're all right because you can't mess up. That's the best thing about meditation. Can't do it wrong. But my opinion as a teacher is that apps are great. Guided meditation is a wonderful. I guide people for a living, so obviously I truly believe in that. However, I encourage all of my students to use a combination of apps and doing it on your own.
Yeah.
Because, like I said before, your breath is your most portable self-help tool. You always have it with you. And I don't ever want people to be scared to meditate on their own because what if you don't have your phone?
Yeah.
What if you don't have your computer? What if you don't have your app? You still need to be able to do it on your own. So I recommend a combination. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to get too dependent on the app that they feel like they can't do it on their mm-hmm. own, but the apps are great too.
Yeah, so that's so interesting. Yeah.
I guess some people, you know, their phone is pretty much plastered to their body, yeah. so they need the apps.
You know,
and stuff,
we were talking with someone, and she said she, at the end of the day, has the imprint of her phone on her hand.
Really?
Remember?
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
Jesus, that girl needs an app for editing.
She might have carpal tunnel.
She does. She already does. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's really funny. I found that was happening for a lot of my clients, and people started asking me. I developed a 21-day digital rehab program.
Whoa, that's
and it's
good.
Just baby steps to help you take little breaks from your phone. I'm not taking your phone away. I'm just helping you be on it a little bit less and be more intentional and aware of your phone use. And it's amazing. People have had the best results with it.
Well, so, what's
that's on my website, so Hot Mess to Mindful Mom.
Wait, say the website again?
HotMessToMindfulMom.com.
Nice. Because I realized the other day that I am on the phone a lot more. So I need a little rehab. I think
try the rehab. It's
I think,
so
yeah.
amazing. It just gives you little easy tools. Like every week I send you a short video and it tells you your homework assignment for that week.
Oh, okay. Good news.
And it just builds a little tiny bit each week and it's life changing.
Okay. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I need a little rehab.
You know what? I will get your email.
Fantastic.
I'll just gift it to you.
Okay,
you
good.
Can just try it out for free.
That's fantastic because I need that. Because I realized when I was going to bed, I was holding the phone while I was sleeping. And I'm like, Tori, you got a
okay, let's
problem.
Do a little rehab.
Ah, you got
it.
A problem. red flag.
You'll
That's
love
awesome.
It. But yes, I hope everyone goes on Amazon and buys a book.
Yeah.
To Mindful Mom because these tools are really, really life-changing and just help. You know, they really transformed my life completely. I, you know, share everything that I've personally done to make my life feel so much more balanced and joyful. And so I'm so passionate about sharing it with other people and just makes me so happy to be able to do it.
Yeah, and definitely I think once people go through your website, they'll definitely want to get the book. You know, the website is full of information. Go to HotMessToMindfulMom.com and you can see all of Allie's I guess you can subscribe to the newsletter and you can read more about the book and they can also get in touch with you for one-on-one.
Yeah, yep. And also there's a whole freebie section that I'd love to let people know about. There's different meditations. There's a whole freebie on sleep and my tips for getting a good night's sleep because I used to have major sleep problems and I taught myself how to fall asleep naturally with these tools that I share in a freebie. So there's all kinds of good stuff on there.
Yeah, amazing. And all the graphics on your book are awesome. Who is the artist? Do you want to give them a plug?
You know what? My publisher, Skyhorse Publishing, took care of all of that. So
really?
I have them to thank.
Okay, that's
Skyhorse.
Awesome.
Good call.
Yeah, so nice packaging on the books as well, guys. And Get the Most Out of Motherhood. Is that the new one?
That's the newest one, yes.
Okay, that's great. And that's upcoming this summer, you said.
Yes.
Sounds
yep,
great.
It's already available for pre-order. So someone can get both at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, definitely. There's a lot there. So self-care, mindful parenting, meditation, a wealth of information there. You have a blog as well. Wow. You must be a pretty busy mom.
I am, but you know what? I love everything that I do so much. So it doesn't feel like work. It just is really fun for me.
That's the goal in life.
Allie Katz, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Allie.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Fantastic. All the best to you, and you're always welcome back on the show.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. So, and it's amazing how much time people are spending and providing a wealth of free information, really.
Yeah, I mean, right. I just thought about it. I'm like, a newsletter would be kind of cool.
Right.
Like, I don't know why I don't want a million, but that might be nice to have a little. I get one from my Buddhist teacher.
Right.
But she's like, oh, sometimes I'm like, I can't do that today.
Yeah, I know.
She's like, be grateful to everyone. I'm like, I can't.
What about you? Have you ever blogged? I mean, do you?
Oh, I have a blog.
Oh, do you?
I stopped blogging about 3 years ago, and for some reason, I've never blogged since, and I don't know why.
Because
I had a great blog.
There's no great, like, immediate reward to it. Maybe,
well, it does.
Know?
The writing was the reward. I don't know what happened. Somehow, I stopped. I had writer's block. I cannot do it again.
Wow.
I don't know what happened, and I really want to.
Yeah.
I had a great blog on torishulman.com. You guys can read all the past ones. I had top 10 lists. Cool. I did pop culture stuff, makeup blogs. But I stopped.
Well, maybe you got to start promoting it and write a little bit more, you know, more relevant things. I mean, you've changed. You know, just try a little bit and see if it's
I got to tip my toe back in. I would love to do it. I'm scared, so I got to get over it.
Because it's amazing the following that people get.
Oh, I know.
And if you don't want to do that, do a video or blog or mm-hmm. something. You know, people do that, you know, sort of find an audience.
Yeah, there's the Instagram stories and the Snapchats, and I'm like, where do I belong? There's so many places.
There are.
So I get a little overwhelmed. Yeah. What do? I don't do anything.
Right.
Because I get scared.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, you can't live out of fear, Tori, you know? I mean, all I can tell you is...
I'm living in fear of Snapchat filters. That's what I'm living in fear of. I don't understand them. I don't want it. I don't know. I'm too old. I don't know. That's how I feel. I should blog about that.
Yeah. But, no, I used to live out of fear. Maybe sometimes I still make decisions based on fear. But I know some people that their lives are consumed with it. And it's terrible to live like that.
Yeah,
you know?
It's the worst, weakest way to live.
Right,
yeah.
You know, because you're reacting all the time, right. You know.
And you're living in flight or flight. So when you don't need to be because you're not a Neanderthal.
Right, then what are you afraid of, you know? Right. So you really got to address what it is that makes you afraid of things.
I know. And I've been working on that. And it's very hard for me to, like, stand up for myself. For instance, like, I had a problem with scheduling. And I had to write someone back and say, I can't. Can you change a lot of the schedule? Because I have a radio show and I want to be able to do it. And it was like this huge deal, right? Like,
really?
Like an epic Hamlet monologue. Like, I was like going like, to be or will I die? And it overwhelmed me. And then I wake up this and I wrote
it. It's a lot of anxiety.
It's just,
you know?
Like, crazy. And I woke up this morning. I wrote it out. I sent it. I thought about it the entire night. I dreamt about it. I woke up this morning. Oh, hey, we're so, so sorry. We've changed everything for you.
What?
Take a look. See if it works for you. Exclamation point. And I'm like, my God.
You see? And it's usually like that.
I know. It's never been dangerous. The result has never warranted my reaction.
Right.
So
it's never as bad as you think it's going to be.
Right. So why do I still have that reaction? Well, I go to therapy, of course.
Right.
And he tells you that you part of your brain is from when you were like a Neanderthal. And you still think that like a lion or a mammoth is going to come out and your brain has fight or flight.
Right.
So you switch into that, but you have to realize you're no longer a Neanderthal, basically. And that's not real.
Right.
So I got to learn to do that.
Yeah, that's one explanation, you know. I mean, but
the other is, you crazy.
No. I mean, you get things from your childhood that I can totally understand, you know, but you gotta conquer that, you know.
Yes.
For me, I called it like the dragon. I had to slay the dragon, you know.
Taming the gremlin.
Yeah.
Mine's called Taming the Gremlin.
It's a book
that I used to read about it. Yeah, same process.
Yeah, I mean, I used to actually describe it like having a sword and having to slay this. Yeah, because when I left L.A. and I had to come back because my kids were here, but I was afraid to come back because I had some bad experiences here. So to me, it was like there were dragons standing between me and coming back here.
Wow, and that felt like real dragons.
Right.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, you know, and I'm no dragon fantasy kind of person.
Right.
But that's the way it seemed. Like,
well, it doesn't matter.
Almost.
Whatever came to you. Exactly.
Right. So
mine is in the figure of a principal with like a mean authoritative figure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you have to get past
dragons
them,
would
right?
be more fun.
Yeah, right.
Dragons would be so much more fun.
So you see how it comes from childhood somehow.
Yeah, I know.
It really does. Wow. The teacher with the
stick thing.
With the stick, the ruler, whatever.
Yeah, that's
right?
The feeling I get. It's very much I'm in trouble.
Oh.
I'm getting in trouble.
You must have gone through something.
I didn't. Because
nothing trauma.
What's weird is that I would tell my mom, I got in trouble. And she's like, all right, it's not a big deal. You got like 5 minutes off.
No, but I meant at school, didn't you?
Nothing like that. And I was a total goody two shoes because I've had it for a long time.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is my mom was very, very ill.
Uh-huh.
And there were often a lot of emergencies in my household with health. And I think I thought everything was going to be like a catastrophe. Like everything was going to be an emergency.
Wow.
So like if I got something wrong, it would be like, you know,
that's
the only thing I can sort of think about.
Really?
But otherwise, no one was very harsh with me. I had a very supportive hippy-dippy school, hippy-dippy parents. So it's the sense of that it's going to go to become this emergency, I think, is where I got it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Weird, man.
It is. Do you, I mean, have you been, I mean, do you have like symptoms of OCD and stuff?
No, I have symptoms of like PTSD a bit. Like only because I saw
trauma.
You
must have gone through.
But
something.
However, when an actual emergency takes place, like let's say I turn around and someone's in the elevator, like, bleeding out of a laceration of their arm. Right. I'm like, Doogie Howser. I could not be more calm. But it's, like, the worry that it's going to be there.
I know. Wow.
But, man, I could be a doctor.
Yeah. Huh?
I've been good in the emergency, just not before it. Very strange.
Wow.
Yeah. We're all messed up.
Yeah. We're all screwed up. We're all doomed. We're all doomed. That's what this life is about, man. You come in here, you don't learn your shit, you come back again till you do it. Then I don't know where they
actually,
are.
Actually, that's a Buddhist thing, too. Yeah. Yeah, reincarnation until you get it right.
I really do believe that, yeah. You know? I mean, otherwise, why does this all exist anyway? You know what I'm saying?
Don't you think it had to be a reason? Some people who are atheists say it's stardust mixed with nitrogen, mixed with cells.
That's true. It became you as a person.
That's
true. But don't you think it would take quite some intelligence and a force to turn dust into what's going on here?
Yeah.
I mean,
evolution's a pretty crazy thing.
That's what I'm saying.
We came from apes. How did that happen? And now I'm on the radio with you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You know, so... There you go. You know, I mean, things have changed, and it's not like, and many things were not gradual. I mean, some creatures just suddenly appeared, you know?
Or they disappeared, like the asteroid with the dinosaurs. I mean, these were monumental events that caused extinction of the entire race. So we could go at any time.
Exactly, you know?
Yeah.
But look, we also have the ability to think about the meaning and why we're here.
And that's what we have over the animals,
right,
is the consciousness.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have to think, okay, so stardust, all that stuff. Okay, that could have turned into this, but something
else
had
there.
Something intelligent had to create this.
I don't know what. I'll say this. I know I don't know what it is, but I still think there's something there.
Yeah, there
whether
has
it's
to
spiritual
be.
Or
that's why atheists have a lot to answer to. Whereas we can just say, "Hey, it's God," you know.
Yeah, but that's an easy way out, man. But there's no like proof. That's the thing. They want proof because they're more scientific based.
Well, there is no proof on this.
Well, that's hard to believe in. Scientists.
I know, but that's what it's about. I think the part of it was also, so we don't know, you know, so we don't know. I mean, because that's part of, you know, we need to figure out why we're here. That's why we're so screwed up, I think, you know, and we all come in for a different screwed up journey, but we all do, you know. I mean, there's no way you can believe that anybody has coasted through their lives without adversity.
I feel like Tom Brady has done that.
Tom Brady, yeah.
He has a great wife, big house, always wins, great face. He just seems to be the gold. No, I'm just kidding. No, everyone faces. I always start my stand-up with a non-joke because I'm like, that's funny for me. So I bring out my drink and I'm like, let's do a toast to everyone here because we're all facing an uphill battle. And I think that just immediately gets us all on the same, because it's true.
Yeah.
Is there not, you don't know the face of someone you're walking in the mall. That person's got a parent dying of cancer or something.
You don't know. You don't know. That's why I posted something like a link on my Facebook of this thing that says, you know, I mean, do you compare yourself to other people? And it makes a lot of sense. You know, you really have to look at that and go, they're on a different journey. You know, I mean, why am I even looking at what they're doing? You know, and I often compare it to like driving on the freeway. You know, I mean, for one moment, you guys are on the same lane, but then you go on different lanes.
That's so funny. Pema, my teacher says something you do on the freeway called she's just like me. And you're supposed to look at people on the freeway and just like give gratitude and say like, she's just like me. He's just like me trying to get to where he's going.
Exactly. But they're going to different directions in a different car. With the different,
but they're
state
just trying to be happy.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
So that's what you have to understand, you know. And maybe if you believe in reincarnation, you believe that maybe this person on the street used to be your mother in a previous life. Don't treat them like shit, you know.
You're right, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and that's what they say. That's another Buddhist
or like
thing,
this,
I
like
think.
Oh yeah,
a spiritual.
You don't
thing,
know, well, yeah, because you're not allowed to kill any animal or insect. You don't know if that ant was your real aunt. Right. You know what I mean? Aunt Barbara. I'm so sorry.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But no, yeah, it's very much a no kill, all peace, all love, but not all happy. You're meant to know that the idea of Buddhism is that suffering will occur. Mm. And the more you wish it didn't, the more you will suffer. Which is kind of mind-blowing. Like,
right. And you there you go again. You know, you take space stardust and stuff, right? How does it become all this?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Know,
I mean, all the spirituality, all the stuff that we have in
our
life.
You know what I think is crazy? So this is going to sound like a real stoner comment right now. Yeah. But this is what I think is crazy. Fruit. when a tree grows and then a fruit grows from the tree and you can eat the full fruit, I'm like, that's magic, man.
Right, right.
That kind of sounds
pretty
real stoner,
much the
but,
way a ba- yeah.
But that's crazy to
but
me.
But that's a baby coming out of a person. It's crazy. The same thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But that you can.
So, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. And that's living in awe, you know.
Yeah,
and I try to do that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you go by. A good thing to do is go by to the beach and watch the ocean and stuff, you know.
There's,
and you realize the size of it all.
And how small you are. And how, yeah. And also the beach actually has, the waves have something called negative ions, which who knows if this is real, but they are tend to try and make your ions more counterbalanced. So it's, you do get a physiological reaction at the beach, which is why people tend to go there and relax so much.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a very calming place to go.
I know. And so I often, every day I stop and I think, wow, the human body, you know, the nature, you know, like we think about water, how we're all self-sustained here, you know, all self-contained in this planet. And it's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
You
know? And like in the last couple decades, 100 years, we've killed off so much of the planet.
Right.
Like 50% of the rainforest in the last like 100 years.
Right. Yeah. You know, and who knows what's going to happen,
yeah.
You know, but we've definitely been the generation that's affected the planet the most.
Yeah. I mean, and you could say the Industrial Revolution, but yeah, right. At this point, the pacing in which we're going at it is so much faster exponentially than before that. Yeah.
No, that's true. And the world is so much more crowded and,
exactly.
and busy.
Like I just read something. They were like, if we took the whole universe as 46 years, humans have been there for 4 hours. And I think something like the last 46 minutes has gotten rid of 50% of the rainforest.
Wow.
Like it's something crazy.
Yeah. Huh?
So, yeah.
Wow.
We're just destroying everything.
Accelerating.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're living at the speed of light. Now,
I hope Elon Musk gets Mars ready for me. Like,
yeah, you're ready to go?
Yeah, just get me it ready. Just do something, Musk.
How long does it take to get to Mars? Do you know?
A long time.
Yeah.
Like those that are going for the first test won't come back. Like they're going to die on Mars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's that long.
Well, yeah. And also, yeah, there's, yeah, they will.
Few years,
those people, I don't know. I just know. I think it's,
I don't think
right now, long. Crazy long.
Yeah, it is.
But in order to get, they won't be able to come back.
Yeah.
So they're going out there. For some people, they signed up. There's like a long list.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, I'm going to find out how far.
Oh, Mars?
Yeah, how far Mars is from Earth. Yeah, I mean, look, we're at the age of Google. We need to know that. 225 million kilometers.
That means nothing
okay,
to me.
Okay, 250 million miles.
Mm.
Okay, so it would take...
here we go. According to NASA, a vessel with humans on it would take roughly 6 months to travel to Mars and another 6 months to travel back from Mars.
Yeah, you see,
they would have to stay 18 to 20 months. But they the first ones who go out are trying to start a colony, so they won't come back.
Right, exactly.
That's
okay.
Why. So I see the mission would take all in all 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
2.5 years.
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I can get this. Nothing.
Exactly. You can go, right?
Make a smart speed train. I'm there.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, they want them to stay and like create.
Oh, I see. So you have to stay there for 20 months in order for the planets to realign for a return trip.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Is that?
That's crazy.
But 6 months to travel there? I mean, can you imagine being on a spaceship for 6 months?
Yeah, they did the twin test with the Kellys, who are two twins.
Right.
And someone was in for like the longest a human being has been in space, and they compared it to his twin, who's also an astronaut,
right,
and who wasn't in space. And the guy who was in space had very bad muscle atrophy. His cells had it wears you down physically being
imagine.
In space.
Yeah, no gravity.
And so you have to exercise like on a stationary bike, and it's just not. It does all wear and tear.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we're obviously not meant to live in space, you know.
Yeah, but Elon Musk can fix that, I feel like.
Yeah, right?
I hope so. Come on, Musk. I'm counting on you. Let's go.
Yeah, but he could actually help save us, yeah.
Yeah, as long as though that ex-spaceship doesn't keep crashing, I'm on board.
Well, eventually they'll make it.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be able to do it.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So I saw an article about older dads, and guess why that sort of spoke to me? Because I wouldn't mind being one, you know, and I said that before.
You mean like having a new kid?
Another kid, because I have two grown kids.
Oh.
But if I had the opportunity right now, I'd have a kid or two.
Interesting.
I really would.
Okay.
But so they're talking a little bit about this, and they're saying what's at stake for older dads. So they're saying there's some risks and rewards. You know, I mean, they might say, though they're saying though some genetic risks may increase, the chance of having an affected child is very, very low.
Right.
So even if you have something, you know, it's not like it's any different. You know, I think the effect is more having to raise the child. Mm-hmm. You know, not
there's
so
a lot.
Much
it's
as,
a lot of physicality and a lot of work. Yeah.
So it's not so much as far as the genetics, as far as what you pass on to the kid at your age, but so much as how much patience do you have for them and mm-hmm. stuff. But they're saying that it's actually not a bad thing because you're more your perspective and your stability are different from someone younger.
Absolutely.
You know, so you might be able to provide a lot more safety and stability for your family.
Absolutely.
You know, things like this. I know I would probably do some things differently in raising the child than
you've
I
learned.
Did with
yeah,
my
exactly. Yeah.
Like for example, I wouldn't get divorced if my life depended on it, because you know what, it affects it, and I don't care what people say. If you get divorced, the kids, you're not. If you don't live with the kids every day,
yeah, it's different.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. No, yeah, if you're not the custodial parent,
yeah, I can imagine that would be
and
really
that sucks, you know. Yeah. Because I mean, look, I look at them, I love them to death, but I would have done some things differently raising them.
And I think that's the joy, that if you can have kids again, then you have that experience.
Right, right.
Know? Yeah.
So I don't mind that at all, you know. So we'll see if I can find someone.
Hey, wow. You should open up that possibility.
Exactly, you know, and I do.
That's good.
So they're talking about, obviously, the poster child right now is George Clooney.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's
Amal,
about my age.
He's got twins on the way.
Twins on the way. Wow, let's see how he handles it, huh? But you see,
They're
like rich people. They've
yeah, he has like
cool. And shit,
he has a,
you know?
Like a magical like castle in Lake Como. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. They'll have 18 nannies. His yeah, and Amal Clooney is a wonderful human rights lawyer. She's not dumb herself. She's brilliant. Right. So they'll do fine. But I, you know, if you don't have the resources, it can be difficult. You know,
that's true. If you don't, but then again, look at all the families with the big, like big families with like 10 kids.
Yeah,
they manage.
They
you know?
They do somehow.
Yeah, they
get
don't
through.
Have the means at all.
They do not. I'm like, what are you doing?
Usually the people without the means that do that.
A lot, there's a, and you know, you deal with Catholicism with it. You can't have birth control situations in some. It's a religious situation. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I know.
So,
and it's around the world like that.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Very interesting.
Very unfortunate. So so if you're an older if you're an older man like me and you wish to have a child, no reason not to.
There you go.
Now the next headline is: are you a Netflix cheater? Do you know what that would even mean?
Does that mean like you go on Hulu as well, or like
no,
what?
No? Actually, see, and that's what you would
oh,
think.
Oh, like
right?
Oh, you yes, you have the Netflix password of someone else.
No, okay. That's not it okay. Either. Now check this out.
Okay,
this actually works like cheating on your partner, because this is watching a show that you decided to watch with your partner.
Oh, alone.
And then you decide to watch it alone because
yes.
You can't wait to see what happens. Right?
That's
a cheater.
I've done that before.
Really?
I've done that with like full on seasons.
Whoa.
They'll walk in and be like, wait,
and
what?
And see, they're saying a lot of people are doing that.
Oh, it's caused issues. There's commercials I've seen where people are like, you did this. You know what's going to happen, don't you?
Whoa.
You've seen season two.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's really funny. Yeah, Netflix has become a very strong relationship thing, and you know, like Netflix and your watch list and where you put yours, you can sign in as yourself or your husband, so it's
that's
become like
true, right?
It's part of the family, man.
Yeah, right.
Like the third party.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's just about 50% of streaming couples include at least one partner who has cheated on the other. That's half, man.
That's so funny. Well, when you're binging hard, it's hard to stop.
Yeah,
it's like Pringles.
Wow. See, I never got into that.
Yeah, you never been. You don't like binging.
I don't like TV that much that I would do that.
There's something about a binge. There's nothing like it, man.
No, I know. I can tell you that it happened to me with The Sopranos and with Lost.
Got it.
I sort of like, you know, I couldn't wait for the next one.
Yeah, totally.
At the time, you couldn't stream yet, so I had to get the DVDs from Netflix.
Right.
And that would take a few days, so you can really binge.
Right.
But I was watching them as they were coming in,
there
and I loved it.
That's right.
I loved it, man. Yeah. Did you ever watch The Sopranos?
No.
That was before your time.
No, it wasn't before my time. I could have watched it.
You just went into it.
No, I was into Lost, though. We had Lost parties.
Right.
We had,
Lost was something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But The Sopranos, I mean.
Oh, it's great.
I think it's one of the greatest shows.
By far.
And that's the thing is I never watched it when it was on live. You know,
a lot of people didn't, right?
Yeah, because I didn't have HBO and all that, and nobody thought much of it, you know. But then, and that legitimized, I think, pay TV also. Mm-hmm. You know,
Sopranos was one of those that turned HBO was like a huge deal.
Yeah,
but what do you think of the ending? Don't stop.
Yeah, I know. It just sort of sucked.
Okay. I didn't know if you were
into
it.
And Lost, I never got to watch the ending. And
wait.
I don't know why I'm not doing
yeah,
that
there's,
now.
Yeah, you can watch it now.
Exactly.
A lot of possibilities.
Yeah, most of the last season I didn't watch.
So what? You gave so
now,
much
right?
to that show.
I know.
You got to watch. I mean, the ending at least tries to clear it up. I was very annoyed by the ending, but
really?
Whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. That was a good show. I enjoyed it.
It got crazier and crazier, man.
Yeah.
Like a smoke monster. I was like, what is happening?
I know, but the characters were cool.
It was,
know,
but
right?
I thought in the end I'd be like, oh, but I was like, no.
Oh, well.
Oh, Lost.
So, thank you to Allie Katz for calling in. Everybody go get her book. Go to her website.
Hot Mess to Mindful Mom.
Yes, .com.
.com.
And that's it for today, Tori. Thanks,
all right.
As always, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Whoops. I turned off the music.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.